by white police in Selma, Alabama, on a day nicknamed Bloody Sunday in 1965. Suffering a broken skull at the hands of his attackers, Lewis was among 17 people who were hospitalized. On that day, in protesting, he endured being arrested and taken to jail. On a better day, in 1987, Congressman Lewis was elected as a member of Congress in Georgia, where he served until his death at the age of 80, fighting for our rights to the end.
We march today for jobs and freedom, but we have nothing to be proud of. The hundreds and thousands of our brothers are not here. But they're receiving starvation wages or no wages at all.
John Lewis always spoke highly of those civil rights leaders who paved the way for him and others, particularly Dr. King, who took him under his wing at the age of 17, helping shape him into the man and the dynamic leader he became until his dying days.
What memory of Dr. King has stuck with you the most after all this time?
When he spoke, he spoke to my heart and to my soul. I love this man. He taught me how to stand up, to speak up and speak out, and not to be afraid. And I felt that when he was assassinated, that something died in America, and something died in all of us. And this country had not been on the right path since.
You have an obligation, your generation, young people, have an obligation, a mission, and a mandate to push and pull and not be satisfied. Politics control everything that we do in America, from the time that we're born into the time we die. So you have a moral obligation, a mission, and a mandate to get out there and push and do everything you can to leave this little piece of real estate we call America a little greener, a little cleaner, and a little more peaceful for generation yet unborn.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome, everybody, to the But Is Basic show every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. I hope that you enjoyed that little monologue. The person that you hear speaking in the background is me, and I'm so thankful to have had the opportunity to do a voiceover for a grassroots law project. Sean King heads that, and big ups to all of the lawyers, Lee Merritt, and all of the staff that give light to unfortunate situations that we have to deal with as a people, but give light to it in a way where justice can be served through their voices and their platforms. So I'm thankful for that. I'm gonna give some claps for that. That was about John Lewis, Congressman John Lewis, who passed away recently. And he has been on the side of good for so long, and I just want to give him his props. You know, like, I hope everyone gave him his flowers while he was here, but a lot of people that don't know who he is, at least, you know, I gave you a little reminder of using my voice to be able to give a narrative of who this man was. And I'm thankful also, big ups to Militant Moles for putting the edit together. It's a lot of small components that get put together to make a bigger situation happen. And with that being said, welcome to the But Is Basic show. Sitting next to me, to the left of me, the best of me, DJ Hannibal.
Straight out of Carthage.
You said straight out of Carthage?
There you go.
I'm done.
There you go.
It's Hannibal's birthday, everybody. So, you know, give people flowers
birthday
while they're here, man.
Yes. Yes.
Let me clap it up. Or should I bust one or two shots and make sure that they know, don't mess with the mastermind. You know what I'm saying? You never know who's got a plan.
It's Leo season.
You know, it's
so
Leo season.
Shout out.
And shout outs to Peachy Sue's sitting to the left of him.
Hey, everybody.
It's her birthday, too.
That's right. Well, next Sunday.
Damn, why you got to call the exact date? That the, it's today's your birthday
today,
on the Butters Basic.
It's my 25th birthday today.
Don't you love it? Juicy is sitting to the left of PC shoot. I said PC shoot. I
sound now like you with the list.
Yes, yes.
I haven't visualized.
Tongue heavy.
So, you know, my tongue is mad heavy, but there's nothing further to have caused that
suffering
as yet.
Suffering succotash.
Suffering succotash out this bitch. Yo, make sure you follow Peachy Sue's, man. She's an actress, comedian, and also an avid Instagrammer. If you ever check out, you know, she'll respond back to you. She's got a dating situation coming up when she gets back from Aruba after she celebrates her birthday in the Caribbean islands. Hopefully you don't get quarantined with the wrong person.
Mm. Oh, well, I'm sure that won't be going down.
Okay.
My boo Eric is coming with me.
Okay. I know Eric.
I'm sure we'll be man shopping together. Hey, Eric.
Oh, that friend.
That friend.
You know what's so crazy is, like, I just had the craziest thought in my head. Like, you know, you think you're taking along your friend. He's really taking you along.
Okay, like, hello, because he's a fabulous one. I'm just a poor friend like that.
You know what I'm saying? Sitting to the left of Peachy Sue's is Juicy.
Hello, hello, hello. It is not my birthday.
How
about that?
And you can follow her at Quit While You're Ahead, and you can do the same thing, too. Quit While You're Ahead.
Boom.
You know, once again, man, today, you know, we go back into the anger management for the diaspora, which is the series that I've culminated here at the Butters Basic Show. Today we're going to be talking some interesting things about dangerous Negroes.
Mm.
It just gets so quiet when we talk about...
Because nobody wants to throw anybody under the bus, but sometimes that's what needs to happen.
Yeah, but, you know, it's sometimes a dangerous Negro can be someone that is dangerous to the system or positive for us. So, you know, however you want to swing it is cool. What's up, Mama? I got some in-studio guests that are back there like... You guys know any dangerous Negroes? Oh, nah, they said they are dangerous Negroes. So, you know, I don't want anyone to take it the wrong way. I just feel so pressed sometimes to have these conversations with us because we talk about everything else sometimes that is against the progress of self. So when I put it out there into the world like this, I just want everybody to know it's not to be hurtful, but... Even with comedians, we laugh at the truths. So, like, as a people, we should be able to talk with each other about things that might not feel good to us so we can explore how we can get better.
But is it really better, or are we just judging each other?
How are we judging each other? Talk to me.
I think that a lot of people, what we do is, if I have an idea and you don't fit in with my idea, you're dangerous to me. Because you're not fitting in with my idea. So now you're the enemy. So I think that in today's society, especially with everything that's going on, that is the main problem, is that if somebody does something that you don't agree with, they're wrong, that's that, let's cancel them, and let's go on and see what we can cancel next.
Awesome, because there's a whole culture right now of canceling people out of media and mainstream society, but does that make you less of who you were? To get canceled?
I think that in this world, we've become so disingenuous. You can't genuinely be yourself anymore because you have to step on eggshells all day long. And I think
I hate that feeling. Stepping on eggshells around anyone is like, it's a lack of being yourself.
You know what? If you come in, and this is why I commend Charlamagne Tha God, because he came into the game as himself. And he says things that are wrong all the time. But we don't cancel him because we expect that from him. So when you come into the game, if you come in as who you plan to continue to be, you'll be great.
Authentically you.
Exactly. But if you try to come in and acting like you something that you ain't, oh, guess what? The real you going to slip out. And then cancel culture is going to come for you.
And that's what's happening right now. So, like, before we start canceling everybody, let's try to determine the nature of who's might be good for us, who might be bad for us, and then also come to a determination of what makes sense, you know, in the minds of our people in the diaspora. Who's a dangerous Negro?
Well, you know, to me, you can begin.
I'm sorry, but ones with the guns are very dangerous.
Yeah.
How about that?
But at its core, you're talking about an evolution. And for me, you know, I'm approaching 50 years old, and I'm looking back on...
Don't be trying to act like your birthday is, I'm
not 50 this year, I'm approaching that half century.
You know what
mark.
I'm saying?
But what I like is the idea of saying I've been around long enough that I've seen people evolve. So my choice is Chuck D from Public Enemy. Now, Chuck D is 60 years old. And I sit there and I watch all of the different things that he's dealt with as an artist, as somebody who's developing as an individual. And from my standpoint, there's a lot to be learned. I think he's a legitimate voice within the community, and he has been positive. Positive is always relative. And as an artist, there have been things that have been controversial. If you're going to sit back and say that you support the Nation of Islam for whatever reasons, that's controversial. And he has found ways to move in and out of that controversy, and I would argue never losing himself and always being there as somebody who you can depend on to have something sensible.
Sounds like a nice person.
I think
who's he dangerous to?
Well, I would argue he's dangerous to anybody who's trying to figure out, well, wait a second, you know, what exactly is the larger plan here? Is the larger plan for us to destroy ourselves? Is the larger plan for us to contribute to the prison industrial complex? He stands against those things and is consistently giving a message of saying, understand yourself, understand your history, understand where you come from. Make no mistake about it, that is a threat.
To many. Understanding causes people to comprehend their position in the world, and that's sometimes not good for the master at hand.
Absolutely.
Peachy Suze, who's a dangerous Negro to you?
When you say dangerous, I think more or less of someone who's tearing down our culture, who's not here for us. Because remember, if you're not here for me, you're against me. And I'm definitely going to go with Charles Barkley, man. I'm a basketball fan. I like Charles Barkley growing up. As an adult, do I like him? No. I think he's dangerous to our culture. I think while we're all trying to come together, I don't want to say he's causing division. And he is allowed to have his own opinion, because I'm judging him just like I said that we do. Mm-hmm. But again, if we as Black people are trying to come together, we're trying to kneel, support Colin Kaepernick and kneel for social equality. And you're sitting there and being like, I don't think athletes should do that. And if an athlete chooses not to kneel, you shouldn't get mad at them. Well, brother, whose side are you on? Because you ain't on my side. Are you mad you didn't get them rings? Because you're very bitter towards the, you know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't, like, he's just always making coon-like remarks. And I think that it's very dangerous, because you know what? You're still someone who's on ESPN. You're still someone that people look up to. And yeah, people who are my age, even though I just turned 21, people who are my age, we know Charles from growing up. But let's look at the new people who are really, you know, growing up watching ESPN and watching Charles, and they're thinking, no, it's okay. No, this world is not racist. Damn it, this world is racist. And that's what Charles.
Are those some things that he has said? That the world is not this, that the world is not racist, and we're all on the same playing field?
He has said, I am not a role model.
You know how people can say things without saying it? He's one of those people. He says things.
Yeah, but we don't want to make assumptions. Like, I know in the past he has said things about crabs in a barrel. I know he said that about, let me keep it 100,000%. Charles Barkley looks sharp. He's been on TV after the fact of playing in the NBA. He's been a commentator. He's been well-respected. He is able to move within affluent cultures as well as poor ones and talk his talk and makes big money making decisions. So I see why somebody influential can deem to be either hurtful or positive for the culture. But when they drag everybody else down with the comments, it's hurtful because of who's watching, who he's having the conversations with. The everybody that's able to access him on their affluent level is what is becomes to me, that's the hurtful part. Because like, yo, I don't know if he comes and talks to people in the inner city or comes and talks to people, like talks to students. I know he has to do some good things, but like, yo, sometimes when you say certain shit, like I remember when Bill Cosby had said about, pants sagging and you know, black people are disgraceful at some point. He has settled. Bill Cosby said a lot of things because he's had the platform to be able to talk like that. Mm. And it's okay to tell people like, yo, pick yourself up by your bootstraps. Let me, you know, let's get, you know, I'm not referring to the person that everyone now knows as the disgraced dad of America. I'm talking about the person who was awarded doctorates from Temple University, the person that was looked at as the influential dad of America that was able to talk like that, and now turn around and they have turned you into
a martyr.
Expose of who the dangerous Negro is, when all this time you were fathering America. Who's the dangerous Negro?
Who's America were you fathering now?
I mean, if you think about it, it was white, black. He touched everybody's soul in the United States that had a TV that tuned into the Cosby Show. So on one hand, you know, I've thought about it to myself, like, yo, who's my dangerous Negro that I'm going to talk about today? Like, I got a couple. You know, mine is really Candace Owens, but I'll wait to get into that. But, you know, Bill Cosby, I don't know. I don't know what to say, you know, because there's a thing in media right now, too, that makes everybody a conspiracy theorist when you speak about the things that you know they say they do in their culture of media and high society. But as soon as you start talking about it as a regular, degular fucking person, you're now a conspiracy theorist, and what you're saying is irrelevant, and you are a dangerous Negro yourself because they don't like their business exposed. So here we sit, you know, bigging up John Lewis, who is a great dangerous Negro that served in Congress and said, you know, I'm gonna give you more trouble. He said that. You know, we got the good trouble for you.
Yeah.
The good trouble.
Should.
We got the good trouble for you. Hannibal, your dude was Chuck D. He brought that good trouble. Mm-hmm. You know, Charles Barkley, I guess good trouble for some that need to take a look at themselves. Like, let me really pull my pants up and do something about my life and fix up. Good trouble. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the real mystery here is that there are people who inspire you and there are people who you want to model your life after. And in the end, you can be inspired by somebody who's done something very specific. But when you've been around for a while, you want to see a collection of things that people have done. And to me, I would argue Charles Barkley has evolved over time from Mr. I am not a role model to rethinking some of those positions. In the same way that Martin Luther King was very different in the last 2 years of his life than he was prior to that. But in the end, you know, when somebody just has a moment of being famous or having said something or done something, that's a little different. You have to give people time, I would argue, to develop and to show who they can become.
Great.
But see, what you're saying, that makes me think that is Charles Barkley genuine? No, he's not. Because if you sit there and you could switch up and be like, I'm not a role model.
He ain't never going to get an NBA sponsorship from you now, PG.
No, but what I'm saying is that, you know what I'm saying? Okay. Like, I don't, me personally, I'm a person who, if I'm thinking something, and I need to, you know, watch my mouth more. I need to censor myself more. But I say what I feel and I say what I think. And Charles Barkley, I feel like, went from that person to a person who shucks and jives for America, white America. He doesn't want to be canceled. You don't care if black people cancel you, because you know what? What are you doing for me anyway? But if white America cancels, oh, you're going to hurt my pockets. And I think that's how he feels.
Damn,
and
man.
So that's why me personally, yo, Charles, I can't rock with you no more, my guy. You know what I'm saying? I can't.
Wow. Well, we're going to take a short break, a little musical break. Hannibal's got a little mix for you guys. Should be entertaining. I think it has some people on there. You got some interesting people on there for them to listen to for the vibes? Hannibal's like ignoring my question. It's okay.
I got you.
That
DJ
means
mode.
It's not interesting at all, damn it.
He's in DJ mode.
Make it happen, Hannibal. What's up, everybody?
Sunday Fun Days here at the Butters Basic Show every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. I hope you're having a good time. Peace. Every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. And I'm so happy to be here with y'all. Of course, you know, we are the platform for the unknown to get known here. And we're internationally local every Sunday here at DTF Radio. And we're also joined by a couple of special guest commentators slash panelists slash aggregators. Yo, Johnny Fastlane's in the building, everybody.
Peace, y'all. Johnny Fastlane here.
Listen, I'm not into light-skinned men, but Common can get it.
What, the ginger beard?
Common can get it. I'm not even into light-skinned men, but Common, he can get it with his little philosophical ass.
Here we go. Listen, what's so funny is, I'm like, who are you talking about, the ginger beard?
Am I light-skinned? Or I'm brown-skinned? Or I'm bare-skinned?
You're bare-skinned.
Oh, okay, all right.
That is so nasty. I'm going to fight you. Listen, everybody, we're joined by the bear.
The bear. The bear. 5,000 at Instagram. Holla at me. Fuck Charles Barkley. I said it.
Why you say fuck Charles Barkley?
Because he spit on that white kid years ago, and nobody really They covered that up, and I
you
never
said he
liked
spit
that.
On a white kid. Hallelujah! No, yeah, I'm joking. I'm kidding. I'm not racist. I'm not racist. I'm
no,
kidding.
No, 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 no. I mean, kids is innocent, but
why did he do that? Was were they at?
I don't know. I can't remember exactly.
He got frustrated during the play. He acted out inappropriately, and you know that happened on the sidelines. He got like he was on blast for that.
But you know what? A lot of people didn't really know about that about Charles Barkley. Mm-hmm. And then I ain't like the fact that he gonna say a woman. She supposed to, the only watch she supposed to have is on the stove.
Ooh, the only what?
The only watch a woman's supposed to have is on the stove. What the fuck?
The only watch.
Like the only clock, you mean?
The only, yeah, so she don't supposed to have a watch on her arm. Mm.
She supposed to have a watch on the stove. Wow.
What kind of shit is that?
Yo, I'm like, wow, we're really unraveling
Charles Barkley.
People really feel about certain people.
Should I wake up tomorrow and just cancel him? Because you know, these days you can just wake up and cancel
Sounds
anybody.
Sounds good to me.
Hey, Johnny Fastlane is joining us, guys.
Johnny Fastlane.
Make sure what up, you what follow up, what Johnny up. On the gram at Johnny Fastlane with no H.
Of course, J-O-N-N-Y Fastlane. You already know. You're going to see that big ass red beard. We here, we talking about dangerous Negroes.
That's a fact. Did That's you listen? Johnny. You heard what was going
Johnny
on?
Johnny is a dangerous
yeah,
Negro.
Yeah, yeah. I appreciate that, you know? And so
oh,
there's,
wow.
two,
we can
there's, there's two different types of dangerous Negroes, okay. right? You got the dangerous Negroes that are dangerous to America that they try to silence and they try to shut you down. And then there's dangerous Negroes that are detrimental to us, like a Charles Barkley, right? Or like a Terry Crews, right? He's a very dangerous
Negro. Oh, is
that
your dangerous
right?
Negro?
Is yeah. he really, though? Okay, speak
he's,
about
he's
Terry.
He's very dangerous,
let you talk
right?
about it. Why is Terry Crews a dangerous Negro?
Because it's clear to me that Terry Crews is going out of his way for acceptance in...
white community.
The white community in Hollywood and the powers that be. He just kind of like circumvents his own people and refuses to see what the struggle is or what's going on just so that he can be in the good graces with them, right? He's been rich for a very long time, so I get that point, but he's not connecting with the people like he should, you know?
But is he doing that or is he just trying to show equality amongst black and whites? Is he really against us or is he just trying to say like, listen, as black people,
you need to do better.
Yeah, no, seriously.
He's saying
because that's what he's basically
say
saying.
So can I just say fuck Terry Crews?
Yeah, yo, fuck Terry
that's
Crews.
That's the beer right now.
He thinks,
Terry Crews.
I think that Terry Crews thinks that's what he's doing, but he's not doing it because we can check our own selves, but we should do it like behind closed doors. Like, yo, let me holler at you.
Oh my God!
There you go.
But you don't do that
got
in public.
To it.
You don't do that in front of everybody, right? And that's the same thing. If you have a coworker and your boss puts you on blast in front of everybody, you're gonna feel disrespected. If he pulls you to the side or she pulls you to the side, you'll be like, you have a problem with me, and that's cool. But I respect the fact that you're just talking to me about it. You know.
So now you've already called out two dangerous Negroes in your conversation,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Terry Crews and who was that?
Charles Barkley.
Charles Barkley.
No,
okay.
I called
you
out.
You called out. So you got yours is Terry Crews. Yo, the Bear 5000.
No. I'm going to call out a positive. You know, RIP to my man Cole. I didn't know how inspirational Cole was, unfortunately, until he passed. Because he was a very private person.
He was a dangerous Negro
he
to
was
a
dangerous
lot of people.
Negro. It's funny.
Tell talk about why Kobe Bryant was a dangerous
Kobe
Negro.
Oh, Kobe Bryant. I thought you said Cove.
Yeah,
I'm like, who's
who
Cove?
The fuck is
Cove. Cove. I'm like, Cove?
Came to
Cove
the OB. You Kobe? Know what? So why he was so dangerous is because his work ethics was amazing. He didn't stop at nothing. He didn't let nothing deter him.
Don't leave out the points of the things, Bear,
I mean,
that
well,
he did.
Well, okay.
Because
he
started he contributed to a league of basketball
Correct.
For women, you know, watching
for the
his
kid,
young
the
daughter.
The Mamba mentality.
Yes.
He's big over in Italy, right? Things
yeah,
of that nature.
He
right?
even spoke Italian. A multilingual Negro is
yes.
always a dangerous thing.
Always, because they hit him with the CCS. Caucasian communication skills. They don't like that.
Word.
They don't
yeah,
like
but
that. We
you know
strong.
What? I love Kobe, but if he would have had him a nice black queen by his side, I would have loved
but
him.
But Vanessa
even more.
Is Spanish.
But that's not black, and all I'm saying is
you,
we're not
you,
exotic enough for
PG,
black men.
You are becoming a dangerous Negro talking like that.
Yes. Yes.
Because a lot of black people love to stray away from the fact that they really feel like that. Thanks for voicing that, you know? a lot of black men that don't get with black women feel like it's just a preference. And some black women honestly do feel like, damn, kid, you ignored me.
What's wrong with me? Why don't I deserve your
millions? I have heard black men say that black women, no matter what country they're from, are not exotic enough to capture their attention.
But that's just self-hate, though. That's self-hate.
I mean, what is exotic? Good hair?
Let's hear.
What's exotic? Tell me what's exotic. Good hair?
Honestly, yeah. They want you to have good hair. They want you to have that perfect Goya Bean booty.
Man, fuck that. I need good credit. Have, you know, the beard needs certain, good credit. I don't care complexion. What you got. What's in your wallet? You want a man with good credit, I want a woman well.
Listen, guys, love him or hate him, the bear is in the building.
Yeah, I mean, exotic to me is one of a kind. Nothing that nobody can be duplicated. Like, the bear can't be duplicated. You know what I mean? You can't be duplicated. Nobody can't be duplicated. My whole thing is this, right? You are exotic, right?
Who, me?
You are exotic.
Oh.
Right?
There's nothing like me. There's nothing like me in the world.
There's nobody like you. So, I mean, I get it. Because, you know, people be wanting these plastic women. Mm-hmm. You know, sorry, Barbie. You know what I mean? But they want, I want the real thing. I want to be able to be with you for 40 years after that. You know, 40 years, you got all that fake stuff. It's not real.
But that's what men want, because it's all about, hey, how can I make other men jealous? I can pull up in my Lamborghini and have my bad chick with the fake booty who you would just die for, and you're gonna say, all my money got her, and you're right, all my money did get her.
You know what? You need to stop messing with men and mess with bears, baby. That's what you
I'm
need
done.
To do.
I'm done.
Oh, I thought you were gonna turn me into a lesbian. I was like,
You need a real bear in your life. Okay?
And you know what's crazy? That is, I love the way that it's all coming together, because, like, the things that the bear is saying right now is like, I know you might have thought it. And you probably, it's becoming a climate where it's so tense where we can't really say everything that we want to say. But on the Butters Basic Show, we're the platform for the unknown.
Hannibal,
and known.
I'm sorry. Hannibal is a dangerous black man.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, do you hear what he's playing?
Let's wait. Let's tune the bear out and figure
one,
it out.
Two, three.
I asked for it.
No. He low-key put on my other song, UNITY. Mm-hmm.
Listen, guys. Mm-hmm.
Woman power, UNITY.
We're internationally local here at the Butters Basic Show.
Butters Basement.
So, you know, you can actually get anything and everything out of the show that you want to get. But one of the reasons why we're sitting here is definitely for anger management for the diaspora. And I really hope that everyone can relate to the topics. And not only that, also consider in your own life throughout this course of this week, after you hear what we're talking about, and know the leverage that a dangerous Negro can have in the world. Are you a dangerous Negro? And why? Because if you're just shooting up in your community, you're dangerous as fuck, but...
not in the right way.
You're not in the right way, kid. Mm-hmm. So the conversation is really to gear towards why a dangerous Negro is important at times. You look in the mirror and reflect on yourself on why it's important to sometimes not make the wrong people feel safe in your community, in your mindset, in your media.
Word.
On your TV.
You gotta make people feel uncomfortable sometimes.
Hell yeah, because it's like they don't have to work for your attention of why they should be on a straight and narrow path to connect with you as a human being.
And if you make them think everything's all good all the time,
they're going to keep on fucking doing it.
Yeah.
They're going to keep on fucking doing it. You're going to keep hearing the same music in an hour every hour. You're going to keep on hearing the same media every day. My mom and my dad are controlled by what MSNBC and these bigger corporations do and tell them every day. And not for nothing, all of them aren't black. But I hate some of the dangerous Negroes that they put onto the fucking platforms. But Candace Owens, to me, you are a dangerous Negro. You haven't been anywhere personalized to relate with anybody in my circumference in New York City to talk on anything besides what the news has showed you. And if you're a dangerous Negro that has never experienced real Negro people,
don't talk about it.
Don't
even
talk
on
about
it.
Us. Don't
it's
talk about us.
It's not your position to talk about it.
Thank
yo.
You. And I wanted to get to the point of this. Candace Owens, I like some of the things that she says. I ain't gonna lie to you. I like some of her points. I like that she knows her history. I don't like that she has handlers that surround her and make her think that we are just terrible people every time something goes wrong in our community. That's not how this fucking thing works.
The key is she has no empathy for the people that she's talking about.
That's a dangerous fucking Negro kid.
Rare but for the grace of God go I. And as soon as you lose that perspective as a person of color, you become dangerous to your own people.
But let me ask somebody, do you think that in this world today, we need that dangerous type of Negro to keep our minds going? Think about it. If everything that we said was, okay, a black person says something, we have to agree with it and we have to get along with it. Do you think we need that other black person that says the opposite of what we want to hear to make our minds
keep thinking? Throughout history, we've always had that. We've had W.E. Du Bois and Frederick Douglass. We've had great debaters. We've had Malcolm X and we've had Martin Luther. We've always watched them pit us against each other on platforms at the time of upheaval and rising of our mental state. This is not even the time for all of that. So when I see somebody like Candace Owens going on the TV, and I watch her show, you know what I'm saying? She have a little podcast that she do that get a little attention and shit like that. She has people. And I want to see people's viewpoints. She's had a sheriff on there. I ain't gonna try to big everybody up who she's had on there, but like people that think like her. And then when she has people that don't think like her, what I like is that she has her points down packed to be able to come at them a certain type of way. So like a real dangerous Negro is the one that comes that doesn't have their points on track to come and give to her knowledge outside of herself, because within herself there's nothing else but herself. I know that Candace Owens has a bigger game plan, but her delivery is what's rubbing me all the fucking way wrong, kid.
But remember, all publicity is good publicity.
That's
whether
what I'm
it's
saying.
Bad
well,
or not.
For her.
So
for her it is.
So she said everything that we wanted to hear, we wouldn't pay attention to her. But if you say everything we don't want to hear, now we want to hear more.
And other people are paying attention to her too, and that's her plan. That's her goal. Not to make us happy, not to say something that we'll agree with. She wants them to agree with her.
She wants to keep the pot stirring, because guess what? People, we love juicy tea, and we love a stirred pot, because we love our oxtails, okay?
Oh, boy, juicy tea. Like, we do really love oxtails. Yeah. Give a shout out.
Can we get a gunshot? Bam! I want that.
Special shout outs for the oxtails. You know, there's nothing anybody I think can say a dangerous Negro like us don't love about an oxtail. I think that I'm happy to sit with some quote unquote dangerous Negroes in one bear.
Well, why don't we define it, though? Like, while we're here, why don't we define what makes a good dangerous Negro and what makes a bad dangerous Negro?
And we can do that real quick to wrap the show up. Why not? You know, in my opinion, a good dangerous Negro is someone that is always on top of their game and relatable to their people and educating their people.
Yeah.
All right? And keeping their people sharp. A bad dangerous Negro is someone that continues our path towards a downtrodden situation without regard for our feelings and without consulting us first on what our unified consensus is on how we feel about topics. You address everybody else first besides your own. You don't even think that there should be a your own. You think that it's just a straight up human situation. But throughout history, how many people that look like you have been inhumane to you? And you don't even think about that. You're a dangerous Negro.
So I'll just add that a good dangerous Negro is one who forces us to be reflective and to say, how did we get here? Because it's easy to look at where somebody ends up and then say, well, you made some poor decisions. But as soon as you start saying you were set up to make those poor decisions, so I forgive you and I'm gonna work with you, then you're helping me. But if you're gonna turn me on myself, if you're gonna turn around and say, well, it's my fault that I'm in the situation that I'm in when I was set up to fail, then you are a danger to me.
Teaching? I think that a good dangerous Negro is someone who's more against for us thinking outside of the box and helping us to really like elevate ourselves, look into our history, know what it is, that where we're trying to go, why we have this struggle, and how do we fix it.
Yes.
I think the bad dangerous Negro is the person who's doing the opposite, the person who sees us coming together and says, hey, let me cause some division, let me stir the pot a little bit, let me talk about things,
let me divide the vote.
Let me divide, exactly, there you go, divide the vote.
Let's move on. Yep. Johnny?
So a good dangerous Negro to me is somebody who just tells the truth, right? Somebody who's not afraid to be like, hey, here's what's going on. Here's what we got to do. I don't give a damn who's listening to me. I don't care what happens to me, right? That's a real dangerous to America. A bad dangerous Negro is, you know, somebody who claims to represent everybody. Like, you can't sit on CNN and be like, we're past the kneeling. How are we past the kneeling?
You're
just because
past
you
it.
Get a, that's extremely dangerous, right? Because then about 7 months
Negro.
Later, the thing happened again.
That's right.
And
okay.
again and again.
Okay.
We passed the kneeling, right? Fine, we'll be past the kneeling and we'll go ahead and riot and set shit on fire and loot and blah, blah, blah. Or we could just kneel, because that's nonviolent, right?
Bow.
That's so, very dangerous.
By any means necessary.
So, Bear.
Well, me?
Man, listen. The Bear 5,000 on the gram.
5,000. Listen, a positive.
Make it quick, hun. We about to wrap it up.
A positive black. You know what I mean. The positive black guy is the one that's accountable for his actions. He's not afraid of no, and he's going to keep trying by any means necessary.
I'm thankful to have you here, Bear.
Right? Now, the other, what was the
dangerous.
The dangerous Negro.
The bad dangerous, right?
Yeah.
Because that was the good one I just said.
Yes.
The bad one, Kanye.
No,
yes.
No.
Yes.
We're not gonna debate it. We're
no.
Wait, time.
Wait.
We don't have time.
Okay.
Fuck Yeezy. I said it.
Is Nick Cannon bad or good?
He's good.
Okay.
That's a good,
good
Negro.
He's
okay.
a good Negro.
So where can they follow you, Bear?
The Bear 5,000 at the Grizzam.
Johnny Fastlane.
At Johnny Fastlane on Instagram, YouTube. You already know.
Peachy Sue.
Peachy Sue's on all platforms. PEACHIESUZE because I'm not as cool as butter with my hashtag, but you know.
Yo, Hannibal, happy birthday, and where can they find you?
DJ Hannibal 06 on the gram, coming straight out of Carthage.
Peachy Sue's happy birthday, too.
Felipe Cornelio.
And me too. And me too. Shit,
we're
the same birthday.
Leo.
Yeah,
we're
Leo.
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 That's right.
So today, guys, I sat with a table full of Leos. I want you to follow the show Butters_Basics on the gram. And make sure you follow me. You can follow Butter at Gazebo, GAZZEBO. That's 2 Z's so you don't sleep. 112 and 0 because I'm a Brooklyn girl all day, every day. Hannibal, thanks so much, man. Yo, everybody, 2 to 3 p.m. We're internationally local. Platform for the unknown to get known, man. Big ups to yourself. And check out that Grassroots Law for their feed and things to repost. It's really dope. Shout outs to Sean King and Lee Merritt. Keep doing that hard work. Militant Moles, big ups to you. Peace out, Scout.
That was some good music, too. Thank you in the background.
Yep. Never operate with eyes. Trapping, steal, you capping, feel. Stack it like that, Randall.